Howdy! Thanks for tuning into Orion Photo Group's exclusive podcast. For each episode, we're going to dive into the lives of OPG's photographers and videographers across the country. We're going to talk shop, hear their stories, and listen to any advice they want to offer us up. So grab a tasty beverage and settle in for some fun conversations featuring our little community. That's you. Let's go. All right. Welcome to this week's episode of Success Stories with the Orion Photo Group. We hope that you guys are doing well out there. Hopefully things are getting a little warmer in your corner of the world. Things are going well with you. I am here today with Ali Ahmed. Am I saying your name right?
Yes, sir.
All right. He is a New York-based photographer, right? New York? Yeah. You're a Long Island guy, right?
No, I started in Bay Ridge.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I see. You're a Jersey
guy. It's okay.
Jersey guy. Yep. There we go. New York area.
I lived in Jersey, but my work started in Bay Ridge.
Ah, okay. So you started in Brooklyn and you wound up in Jersey. Yep. Got it. Cool. I'm here with Ali today, who is has been a photographer with us now a few years, and I'm excited to hear his story. As always, I'm always excited to have the New Yorkers on here because they're always straight shooters, and they're always fun conversation, and it helps me miss my little corner of the world where I'm from, and always like Jersey City, Jersey pizzas. All right, quick first question for you: Jersey pizza or Brooklyn pizza?
Brooklyn pizza. I just had some, to be honest. Spumoni.
Spumoni.
For the Super Bowl in Brooklyn.
Oh, that is good stuff.
It's so good, I'm telling you.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, Jersey pizza lovers.
Well, I mean, they are very different pizzas. The Jersey pizza, the true Jersey pizza, like the stuff that I used to get in Central Jersey, was that thin crust pizza, which some people really don't like. But then, New York pizza is very different as well. But both of them, I can say you can fold them, which is the most important thing for me.
Sicilian.
Oh, gosh. There was a place in Mamaroneck, New York, which is in Westchester, called Sal's Pizza, when we lived there. And it was the best Sicilian pizza I've ever... And my gosh, I still have dreams about it. Whenever I'm like anywhere in that neighborhood, I will stop and get a couple of slices from there because there is nothing like Sal's Pizza. That was the best. But anyway, it's funny, when moving to the Midwest, I never thought that would be the one thing that I would miss more than anything. But I don't even eat a lot of pizza. But when you can't have it, that's when it bothers you. But anyway, so I'm here with Ali today. We're going to find out a little bit more about. We were chatting a little bit before this. We talked about how we knew each other from WPPI. Which we'll get into. Actually, I have some questions about that. But I want to start with you from the beginning. So I read a little bit about you and how you got started in photography. Let's just get like the quick 3-minute intro into who you are, where you came from, and how you got started in photography.
Okay, so here we go. Backtracking, I used to work just data entry level job, oil company. And I still do that part-time now as a consultant. I ran into somebody looking for work. He said, you know what, put on a black and white suit, show it to my house, and I'm going to take you to Williamsburg, New York, and we're going to go shoot a wedding. And at this time, I started shooting a lot of this big cultural weddings in New York City, and especially in Brooklyn. Yeah. And then from there, there's no digital cameras. I was not shooting. I was just basically... moving all the equipment, and my job was to light. So basically I was a human light.
And I voice activated light stand.
Light and change the film backs for the photographers.
Yeah, that was a big job for people back then, especially those bigger weddings where, you know, you could be, my first job when I was getting started was, you know, as a VAL as well, as we like to say, voice activated light stand. But you would just walk around, you were literally a lighting assistant, and your whole job was to carry this light around and light the photographer's way. And I remember you probably had the same thing where you had a certain powers, certain, quarter, half full power that you would start with. And I remember you always wanted to be like a 45 degree angle to the photographer, and you would just move around with them in sync with them. And everything was controlled with a radio trigger. And then your other job was to hold the magazines or inserts that went into the cameras. What was he shooting with, Hasi or Aramia?
The last.
Hasselblads. Yeah,
Yeah.
and those things were not easy to load. And I just remember that lip that you had to get the film under and then stick them in. And they each one of those things had to weigh 2, 3 pounds.
And it's fun when you're doing it on a ladder in the
Yes.
middle of a crowd at a huge wedding, and it's just completely awesome.
Yep, you stand on the ladder and shoot and shoot away. And that was 12 shots, if I remember correctly, 120 for the Hasi. So every 12 shots you had to, and I remember you watched the flashes, so you knew how many shots the guy was taking. When you get to around 10, you could start wiggling your way over to the photographer to give
You
him,
have to pay attention, otherwise you'd be docked.
That's hilarious. What kind of weddings were they when you say large ethnic weddings?
These are big, large, Hasidic Jewish
Okay,
weddings,
yeah, I was going to
huge
say they had to be in
Orthodox
Williamsburg. Yeah.
numbers.
Yeah. Those Williamsburg weddings could have 400, 500, 600 people at them. Horrors would go on for, gosh, an hour, 40, an hour to 90 minutes. And proper Orthodox weddings would have two dance floors, right? Men on
Correct.
one side, women on the other side, and you'd have to figure out how to shoot both unless you had two crews of people that were covering each one of them. Yeah, I remember those days well. They were incredible energy at those weddings.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you were working as a consultant. You got into photography. I see something in your bio that I wanted to ask you about an exhibition in LA, boxing.
Oh, yes. So while this was happening, I was saving money and I would fly to West Coast and work with Indian and Pakistani and Sikh, do Indian weddings, Sikh weddings, Pakistani weddings.
Okay.
Do this type of work and learn there as an intern. And then from there, I just mistakenly just ran into Amir Khan, and then got the idea, oh, let's do boxing for my university research project. And that turned into my first New York City gallery exhibition.
Okay.
And then that turned into a second one, a group exhibition, where I actually taught in New Jersey at a school.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. And I love talking about these kinds of projects because, as photographers, quite often there's usually a spark that gets us into photography, whether it's your dad who was walking around with a Brownie camera or somebody that used to take pictures that inspired you to do better. This one's an interesting story where you, and then the other thing too is that quite often we combine these projects with something that we really like. It sounds like you enjoy boxing, and so you took those two things and you combined those together, and then wound up turning them into gallery projects, which is amazing. You're still doing boxing stuff, or that was just kind of a couple of projects that
No,
you want to walk through?
I always like to try different genres because while this was happening, prior to this project, I went to school for computer animation and I was making cartoons.
Okay.
So I always like to try different things. So now when I work, I storyboard my ideas as if I was making those cartoons. And this is how I entail this into my workflow in my wedding photography.
Okay. That's cool. And you definitely sound like you're always kind of dabbling in different projects. I know you like to shoot video as well. You're doing the animation. What's on your to-do list right now? Like, what is the thing that you're learning right now?
Right now, I'm focusing on. I'm always big on education, so every year I make sure I take classes and just go over all my foundation and things like this. And then I'm working on learning cinema. I want to make a movie in 3 years,
Okay.
and just keep honing in on little projects and going into detail and making my workflow better for this year because things are getting busier. And I also DJ as well, so that's really busy too.
Yeah, I bet. I always admire the DJs. I always kind of looked at that being like, would that be a fun job or would that be a nightmare? I could never figure out whether that would be like something I'd want to do. The one thing I admired is that when you packed up your DJ kit at the end of the day, you were done. Kind of like shooting with Orion Photo Group. When you're done shooting, you're done shooting. Whereas if you run your own business, You still have a long way to go with your clients. You're saying goodbye for the evening, but you're not done with them, from a business perspective.
Right, you're with the team, and I'm very thankful for team, and you're spending 2 hours putting everything together and taking everything apart, but it's all worth it for client at the end of the day. And then if I'm shooting photo and somebody else is there working and they need help, no problem. I know everything. I can just be there and help somebody, so it helps.
So that also takes me to the next thing that I want to talk to you about, and I was like looking at your photo, and I'm like, God, this guy looks familiar. Ali, you had volunteered during the print competitions when I was at WPPI, and just to give everyone a little history on that. So one of my jobs at WPPI was running this international print competition where we would judge about 2,000, anywhere between 1,000 and 200 images, 2,000 images over the course of 2 days. They were physical prints that needed to be organized into these giant wheeled boxes that were pulled out by the print handlers and volunteers, and then put onto this viewing rig, for lack of better words. And it was done in six different rooms over the course of two long, long days, generally 8 to 10 hour days. And the competition did not run without the print competition volunteers, and all they would get is a crappy lunch and a free pass to WPPI, which was worth the value. But these guys really worked their butts off, and then many of them afterwards would help hang the prints that won and got ribbons, and also helped to put ribbons on these prints. I know I'm taking a long time to describe what it was. I'm not doing it any justice to the amount of work that went into this, but an integral person to that was these print handlers, which you did at least 1 year. And first of all, I just want to say thank you for the work you put in, because without you guys helping, we couldn't have done it. And I know that I was never able to spend as much time thanking you guys as I would have liked, but I hope that they took care of you. I think they did. But I wanted to hear a little bit about that experience and the things that you've learned. I know when I would ever talk to the handlers, they would always, and I'd say thank you. They would always say, what they got in return was so much more than most people could understand. So can you talk about that experience a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I feel the experience was invaluable. Like it was beyond words. I've learned so much. I bumped into so many different people. If it wasn't for this world, I wouldn't be able to do certain things and learn certain things and meet certain types of people and all the events that happened and all the opportunities that had unfolded before me. Like shooting in the desert and our shoot, going into a magazine from a desert, things like this, unknowingly. And then anytime you need help from somebody, you can call somebody, hey, I need help with this. And they just evolved and helped me with my workflow and my business. And now I'm at that point, I'm going to 15 years, I'm ready to open up like this little studio. So,
Attaboy.
it's
Good
it
job,
helped a
yeah.
lot.
That's awesome. And that's amazing. And you guys would usually interact. We had I'm trying to think. We had about I think 75 or 80 judges in those six rooms. It might have been more than that now that I think about it, but there were at least just 10, yeah, 60 to 70 judges. There were about 10 judges in each room, and you guys would pull the prints out, put it on the table, and then one person would take it off and put it back in the box, and then you'd rotate. So we usually had three print handlers for each room so that you guys could take some breaks during the day. I'd love to hear your thoughts on, like, who is your favorite judge? Let's start there. And I don't want to put you on the
The
spot.
favorite judge was I was fortunate enough to work with the judges in the wedding division with Susan Stripling. So I literally was right there with everything was happening, closed doors, and to be able just to witness and see all the great the photographers for the time, Sanjay Goya and all these other photographers sitting there judging your prints and learning so much and doing it over and over and over and year after year. It finally got to the point where I actually learned. I said, "Oh, I realized, wow, this is so epic. Like, I cannot, I'm very thankful to be in these shoes and to be where I am."
Yeah, that's great. And Susan is definitely one of the most passionate judges out of the entire group of people. And again, I don't think people realize like what a lot of the stuff that went on in the judging. And sometimes we had to close the doors to discuss things the way things were judged, whether a print needed to come back. And I know that Susan can get very, very emotional about how things were done. Sanjay is somebody that I've watched kind of grow up in this industry, and what he's done, and what a classy dude that guy is, and both of them, of course, just incredible work. If you're not familiar with Susan Stripling work, who's now in New York City, and Sanjay is in the UK, you should definitely check out their work. And I just got back from, I don't know if you knew this, I think we're friends on Facebook, but I just got back from Kuala Lumpur. And I was working with in the print competition for this other competition called the Cosmos Awards, and I was one of the judges for the day, and I was working with Nick Pekridis and Johnson Wee and who else that you probably know, Johnson Wee and oh gosh, Will Kadena, who's also a New York City photographer. They also would judge in the print competition, and it was really great to be part of that again, because unfortunately WPPI has put a pause on the competition this year, and it really is a shame. It's like almost like the heart has been ripped out, and it really is a shame that people don't really understand the learning process that goes on during these things, and the amount of for somebody like yourself who got to look in the wedding division, got to look at, I think we would average about, 800 prints over the course of the 2 days, and the inspiration that you would get, I'm sure, was incredible.
It was simply awesome.
Cool. All right. So, you have been with the Orion Photo Group for a couple of years now. I think you've shot about, let's see, done about 25 weddings with us. And I know you've done you do some other stuff in our industry. What would you say is some of the advantages of working with us, and what you like about shooting with us versus shooting your own weddings?
I have the ability to just shoot and create, which I love to do more rather than just sit in front of a computer and worry about the other stuff. And I'm around people, I'm social, so this is what I like to do, and this is what I love about working with Orion.
That's cool. Let's see. What else do I want to ask you? I was looking at some of your images, and let's see here. You have some big bridal parties in here. What advice would you give to a newer photographer in working with a large? No, actually, I'm going to change that question. You shoot a lot of ethnic weddings. And I see you there's some Southeast Asian weddings and some Indian weddings here. As somebody who doesn't know how to shoot those kinds of weddings, your first time walking into a wedding like that, what's your advice on how to deal with all the traditions and stuff?
Oh, I would say before even walking on the floor, I would research the customs and talk to somebody and figure out what's going to happen, and then talk to the maitre d' of the day and then see what the timeline is and what's going to happen, because things go really fast, and if you don't know what's going to happen, things will float in front of you really fast and you're not going to know. So you have to be able to capture everything. You have to be really quick about it.
That is excellent advice. And I think especially with Indian weddings, it can be a little daunting because sometimes there's two ceremonies going on at the same time, and you kind of have to split yourself in half, and learning how to do that can be a challenge.
And the older generation does not sometimes speak English, and they talk really, really fast. So it's a B plus if you know, like, Hindi, Punjabi, Urdu, and all these different languages that they speak there.
Yeah, I mean, quite often there could be two different languages going on at the same wedding, right?
Yep.
I always find it interesting when I would go to, I've been to Asia a few times, and we would be at these conferences in China, and the people from Hong Kong couldn't speak to the people in China because they spoke Cantonese and Chinese spoke Mandarin. And I'd be like, I don't understand. You guys are pretty much from the same country.
But different parts
You
of the
can't even
country.
understand. I don't know why I was amazed by that, but like, why Cantonese? I was like, is it so different? And they would say, like, it sounds like they're talking to me, but they're drunk when they're talking to me. Cool. All right. One more question. Bridal parties. I love your bridal party stuff. What's your advice? New person, bridal party.
You mean like the reception during on the dance floor?
No, like bridal party pictures. Like you have a huge bridal party. There's 10 guys that you got to do in a bridal party picture. How
Right.
do you organize them?
Oh, I first look at the environment that I have to shoot in. Before I even set foot or even get to that point during the day, I'll go in an hour and a half early to a location. I'll scope out the entire location, and then I'll figure out where I want to shoot this. I look at the geometry, I look at perpendicular lines, I look at light, shadow, look at time of day, and then all those things, and then I figure it out, and then I'm ready to go right before it happens.
Cool. That's good advice. All right, last question. Gear. You're a Canon guy.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me about your Canon stuff. What bodies are you shooting with now?
I have two R6s, and then for as a backup, it's old 2.5D Mark IIs, and then all my primes, and then all my lighting gear. I also shoot Sony with other companies that I work with. I also shoot Fuji, medium formats.
So I'm curious about the jump from the DSLR, the Mark II to the R6. And maybe this is for me a little bit because I still shoot with the Mark IV.
Right.
I love my Mark IV. I loved my Mark IIs and my Mark IIIs. I'm ready to make the jump to mirrorless. Why did you choose the R6 versus some of the others?
Because when I'm in tight conditions and I'm working on a time frame, especially with weddings, the R6 is good for sports, good for action. I can go really fast on the focus, and it works really well for me. So now I'm going to upgrade to R3. And keep focus on this because it's a very powerful system, but I want more from it. So,
And the R6 is that a crop sensor?
no, it's a full
It's
frame.
they're all full frame now, right?
Yep, it's a full frame.
Okay.
And it mimics the 1DX DSLR sensor and the R6.
I see.
It's a powerful little sensor, so it's a little brother to the R5.
Okay, yeah, the R6 is the cheapest one, right?
Yes, it's less expensive. So I always keep with wedding photography two of the same bodies. So if anything goes or if you need to adjust or do anything, you have everything already memorized on the two bodies.
Yeah, that's smart. And what do you think was your biggest challenge moving to mirrorless as far as like the viewfinder and stuff like that? Was it an easy
I
transition
don't
for
think
you?
there's any challenges. The only thing I noticed was the battery life, and you have to make sure you have fast memory cards. That's the only difference.
Okay. That makes sense. Thankfully, they're pretty cheap now. Cool. And I see that you have kind of an array of zoom and primes. Given your choice, which do you prefer?
I would stick to an array of primes and zooms and a mixture of, because you're going to be dealing with different lighting conditions. You may need a macro lens for a ring shot, or you may need to shoot with a zoom, so you're not close to ceremony area and you don't want to be anybody's face. So you need to have an array of different lenses in your bag.
If you had to choose
And
one, though,
focus.
which one would you pick? I gotta
Oh,
mention
okay.
this.
I would probably go with a 50 1.2.
That's the right answer. Good answer.
Like a sharp lens. If I had nothing and I was stuck at the airport and all my lenses were gone, and I'm shooting a wedding, and there you go.
I was always a big 50 1.2 prime fan, I could shoot an entire wedding with just that one lens, and a lot of times I would have to almost challenge myself to take the lens off, just because it was such a versatile lens that you could do everything that you needed to. I'd put the 24 on when we got to the re re reception, or the 35, depending on what I was feeling that day. And then maybe an 85. I used to shoot with just three lenses, 24, 80, 50, and
Oh, no
85.
zooms?
No zooms.
Oh, perfect.
24, 50, 85. And we had a 7200 in our kit. And my seconds used to always shoot with my zoom lenses. We had 24 to 70 and a 70 to 200. And we had a 200 prime at one point as well. And then we got rid of the zoom because it was useless. And then we had a 100 macro that we would use for lens macro, close up shots and stuff like that. But all day I would just shoot with those three lenses and they would do different stuff. And the only time I needed a longer lens was during the ceremony, where I needed to get, closer, Catholic weddings or something like that, where you couldn't get close enough. Yeah, all day I'd start with the 50 and just stick with that thing all day long. So anyway, cool. All right. I think that's all I have for you. I appreciate the conversation and sharing your story with us. Yeah, I think that we're going to wrap up here. Again, I appreciate the work that you're doing with us. I see that you shoot. I was looking at your thing here at some of the weddings that you shot, and you definitely are in my old stomping grounds, the Liberty House, and some of these other places that I don't like working at. Crabtree's Kittle House and the farmhouse and the Madison Hotel. Yeah, the Madison Hotel was definitely one place that I worked at a lot in Jersey. So,
Well, the Madison Hotel, my office is in Jersey. I have an office in Jersey and an office in Brooklyn.
okay.
And right next to Madison Hotel is my office, right
Oh,
there, right?
wow.
Where the Jets practice is my
Yeah, yeah,
backyard.
yeah. My in-laws used to live right over there too, so I spent a lot of time over there. It's a great part of Jersey. And someday if we ever move back, that's the area we'll move back to. But anyway, all right. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Success Stories. Thank you so much, Ali, for sharing your story with us. And we'd love to have you on our success stories as well. If you share your story with us, you'll get a $25 B&H gift card like Ali will get. And if you're interested in joining us, please let us know. And you can email me, jgroup@orionphotogroup.com, or hit us up on the Facebook group. If you're not on the Facebook group, you should join us. And we have some great conversations that will be coming soon. And for those of you gearing up for your spring weddings, whenever we put this episode out, we hope that you have some great weddings out there. Anyway, we will talk to you guys soon. Thank you so much, Allie.
All right, take care. Have a good day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, that'll do it for this episode featuring OPG's Best of the Best. Would you like to be featured in an upcoming episode? Or do you have a suggestion for somebody you'd like to hear from in our little community? Please email me, jgroup2ps@orionphotogroup.com. That's jgroup@orionphotogroup.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing your suggestions. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to hearing from you and your story. That's it for now. We'll see you on the next episode. Have a great day.